Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Jan Angles Smith, and we will be talking about her book, Becoming Yourself, The Journey from Head to Heart. In this particular book, Jan shows you how to incorporate the creative heart and soul powers into the process of Western rational thought of self-analysis. The results are a journey toward complete self-awareness, one that ultimately integrates the total self, mind, heart, and soul. The revised and expanded edition, now available on Amazon.com. The expanded edition contains numerous new teachings and spiritual insights. Jan is a master of transformation, and through decades of experience as a master teacher, shamanic practitioner, she has captured the essence of change and well-being. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is lightsong.net. That's LIGHTSONG.net. Okay, with that, I'd like to welcome Jan to the show. Good day, Jan.
Well, hello. Thank you, Robert. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure having you here, and I hope I, as well as my listeners, become a little bit more of ourselves by the end of the show.
That's a process.
Just a little baby step is okay. So, in the introduction, I kind of mentioned, that you're basically a shamanic practitioner, also as an author, of the books, Becoming Yourself, The Journey from Head to Heart, and then the earlier book, Through the Rabbit Hole, Explore the Experience, the Shamanic Journey in Energy. Those particular books, we have you doing a Reiki master, licensed professional counselor, and a chemical dependency specialist, and a hypnotherapist. So I guess to sum it up, you have so many different facets to who you are and what you do.
Yes.
So would you mind sharing with the listeners just it has to have been an extraordinary journey so far.
Well, yes, it has been. Thank you. And I actually started my life off or my career as a high school science teacher in biology and chemistry. And so I have that very strong science mind where I was so grounded in it and loved it. But then I also had this yearning inside of me to really be able to help people. And I think that came in mostly because I had students that were always coming in for, advice or just to talk or whatever. And so I developed this strong affiliation with wanting to help. And I went back for my upper degrees in psychology and became a psychotherapist or a licensed professional counselor. And I had I was working primarily with people that were multiple personality, which was a really hard clientele there for a while. But
right.
it taught me so many fascinating things about healing and how things can change in a moment as these people would move from one personality to another and express themselves in different ways. And sometimes hugely, huge changes, like from somebody that was blind to being able to be sighted, or somebody that had cystic fibrosis in one and, was fine in another. So really huge changes, which was fascinating to me as a young woman. And it introduced me to this idea that about healing and how it can happen, or change can happen. Let me say change. It wasn't necessarily healing, but it was change could happen in a second, in just an immediate change that took place within the body or in the psyche. And during that time, I had what we would call a spiritual awakening, where I was in my living room. I lived in Dallas, Texas, and I was walking into the living room, and there was a woman standing there, an old Native woman, and she was, you know, in like a wool blanket, and her hair was pulled back. I can just see her so vividly in my mind right now. And I said, "Who are you? What are you doing in my living room?" You know, and she said, "I am your sister. I am your grandmother. I am your mother. I am the earth. I am you." And this was not the answer that I was expecting, and it caught me off guard. And she said, "I'm here to ask you if you will learn the ways." And I was literally going to say, "No, you need to get out of my house. You know, you need to just leave." Yeah. But there was a crow that was cawing in the window, or outside the window, I should say. And instead of hearing caw, 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 what I was hearing was trust, trust, trust. And so I said yes to this woman, and we did this little ritual. And then she said, "I'm going to give you your medicine, and you carry the medicine of the North, which is wisdom, healing, and love." And then I heard the sound, and I turned towards the sound, thinking that somebody else had walked into the living room, and I turned back, and she was gone. Well, this was a very, you know, like, what just happened? Kind of, it was surreal, mm-hmm. And every time I tried to tell somebody about it, my husband and my friends, they had really thought that I had gone off the deep end, because I was working in the psych ward, I was working with these very, 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 very difficult patients, and they thought that I had just lost it. And along with this, I had three very small children. I had a three-year-old and twins that are about a year old.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, the stress level in my life was pretty off the charts with what I was managing in my life, and they just really thought I had cracked. And so there was a lot of loss for me. My life turned inside out and upside down, and people were deserting me. I sort of got kicked out of Sunday school class, and you know, nobody could understand what had happened. And I had no reference for this. I had no exposure to shamanism, to medicine, to the Native culture. I didn't know a thing about it, and yet I had said yes to this woman. And so, again, my life was falling apart, and during that time, I had a dream, and the dream was to move to the Northwest. We lived in Dallas, Texas, and they said to move to the Northwest, that the vortexes were changing, and that I needed to be there. And it just so happened that my best friend, my childhood best friend, we were raised in Michigan, had moved to Portland, Oregon. And so I said to my husband, "Well, let's go up to Portland and visit and just see what it's like." And so in that trip, that was in March, my husband landed the job of his dreams, and we were literally in Portland by June. And so in that, you know, that 3 month time, I was just kind of plucked out of Dallas and moved to a different place. Well, in Portland, it's a metaphysical mecca now. It wasn't then, but there was a lot even going on at that time where I could have conversations or have contacts with people that knew about visions and apparitions, all these different things that I was experiencing, that I didn't have anybody to talk to about it or anybody that knew about it in Dallas. So I was led to this woman that channeled angels. And again, I didn't know anything about channeling and, you know, and angels, just, I didn't know that they talked to you. I made an appointment with her, and she pretty much told me that I was to be a shaman and to learn these ways. And she handed me this book on soul retrieval, and she said, this is your life. And I took the book and I read it, and when I was reading it, even though I didn't know anything about it, I felt like I had written it, like there was something in there that I was identifying with that I internally knew, but I didn't have any cognitive knowledge around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and I went to the Foundation of Shamanic Studies and did all my training there, and my life just changed. I went from being a psychotherapist, and then when I finally set up my office in my new location, it took me a few years, you know, to get all the training, several years actually,
right,
to get all the training. And I was also at that same time, I just happened to get involved with a Native family, a Native American Lakota family, and the elders came to me and asked me to to come into the family, to be part of the family. And so I started getting all of this influence and understanding from that tradition also, which I don't necessarily practice, but I've still been a member and very involved for the last, 28 years or so. And so all of these things just started changing, and that's how I got involved in it. And it's molded my life and my whole practice of understanding life and lifetimes and healing and karma, anything that you can imagine that you would have reference to in a metaphysical way, or even the sciences, I now refer to through understanding energy medicine and shamanism. And to date, I've done over 3,500 soul retrievals, which is, an enormous amount of soul retrievals. And I learned from them, Robert. It was interesting. I would document the things that happened, and I would study them, and I would ask the spirits about it, because they were training me on such a deep level. And so I have all of those documented, and I still learn from them. I'll look back as they're teaching me about other lifetimes or lineages or different things to perform healings with. It was all there in the soul retrievals, curses and spells, anything that you can imagine. I felt like I was in spirit school by the spirits as I was working on people. So they were receiving a healing, and I was receiving a tremendous amount of information on how things worked.
Wow.
So that's it, in a nutshell.
Obviously, in a nutshell. Wow, that's just fascinating. You know, the beauty of what I just heard was just how things unfolded, and just how that journey took place. Now, starting with the science, science mm-hmm. teacher aspect, and not knowing, I would think that you probably would have been what some people think. A lot of scientists are just scientifically based, it's got to be proven,
right,
kind of thing,
right.
And but once you experience it, though, that kind of changes things.
It sure did. It opened my eyes on so many levels, and I love that experience, because I honestly feel that what handicapped metaphysics and handicapped science was the separation of them, hundreds of years ago. If they would not have been separated, they would have both flourished in an amazing way. But consequently, there's always this comparison, or there's this either or, and it has been to the detriment of both. And so in my work, because I have a school now, Light Song School of 21st Century Shamanism and Energy Medicine. And in that school, there's a lot of blending, especially now that quantum physics has come out, which to me are just, it's just shamanism. It's shamanism under, described in a scientific way, but their understandings that come through quantum physics have been what shamanism has understood from the beginning. And it's quite beautiful to blend everything together and to not see things as different, but really in the big picture, you're using your whole brain. And I talk about this in Becoming Yourself, the book you refer to, that, you know, we come out of this really left brain dominant culture. We value all these things of the left brain, which is sequential ordering and cause and effect and timelines and linear ordering, all these different mm-hmm. types of things that are left brain dominant functions. When shamanism and metaphysics is using the right brain, and so is quantum physics, it's looking at things from this whole different perspective. And so when you blend the two things together, what you're really teaching people how to do is to be whole-brained. It's not that one is not part of your brain function. It is. It's just using parts of it that you're not used to using. And the right brain is able to see through the dimensions of time. It's able to see spirits. It's where all the clairs live, like clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, claircognitive. All those clairs live over there on that right side that we don't endorse in our culture. In fact, we often mm-hmm. say that it's odd. But other cultures around the world do endorse it. And, you know, they have a completely different perspective of life and interactions with nature and interactions with the spirit realm, which is quite beautiful. The indigenous cultures were very right-brained, and babies are. They're born that way, but we teach them how to be very left-brained as soon as they're, you know, teaching them numbers and sequences, and this happens because of that. And so, you know, where a dream, you can be standing in your living room and then standing on top of a mountain, and there's no ordering on how you got there. But you're there.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens. And that's all that right brain function. And so the best we can relate to it is through our dreaming. Although we then take a dream and we try to analyze it, we stick it in the left brain function. And it's like, it just is. You know? You don't
right.
need to analyze it. So,
right.
but anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to laugh at that because I'm one who really pays attention to my dreams. And quite often I'll do the interpretation, you know, that follow the,
mm-hmm.
you know, why I did, you know, who was I, what was I feeling, you know, what
mm-hmm.
was I projecting? But
right.
but then every now and then I catch myself and say, what does it matter? You know?
Yeah.
It's just a dream. Mm-hmm.
You're taking something that was really not using any of those
right.
parameters or markers and then trying to make it fit, where the spirits are just saying that it's, you know, it's a way of just looking at the world differently from that place of the dream and learning that language or learning that understanding. And they also say that there's no such thing as a bad dream or a nightmare, that it's just big power that's available to you. But we interpret it through, again, that left brain dominant part, and so we end up being scared. Like, oh, this is going to get me, instead of like, this is really big power. You know, you can use your
yeah.
superpowers here and turn and make this different. But, you know, we,
yeah.
again, we're kind of stuck in that left brain interpretation because all of our psychology leads us in that direction. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jan, I have a woman in the chat room who's has a question. I thought I'd pose it because it's, and she says, when you were talking about that Native woman in that came to you, that she
mm-hmm.
had one in her bedroom, but didn't speak to him. You know,
but didn't
and,
what
you know,
speak to her?
But did not speak to him.
Okay.
You know? it was one of those, like, you know, go away. Like you chose not to say go away, but apparently she
mm-hmm.
did. You know.
Yes.
So. Now the question I have about that is that, you know, I mean, you obviously conquered fear with the help of ravens or crows saying trust, 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 but you went forward with something you didn't really understand or know, you know, and so I'm just wondering if, do you feel that if you said no at that particular time, that you may have been approached by her again, as you know, maybe in a future time?
You know, that's hard to guess, but I feel like it was an opportunity of my life course, my life course, which way was I going to go?
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a particular trajectory, but I came in with a particular purpose, and was I going to follow that purpose?
Yeah.
That's how I've always felt it. If I would have said no, I would probably still be in Dallas, Texas. And
yeah.
It was not a place that was going to foster this type of lifestyle that I have now.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a commitment, you know, by doing, traveling that path, you know, and learning and then doing the healing and teaching and all of the other offerings that you have, you know, all of that, it takes work and commitment. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it sounds like, you know, when people are given an opportunity, sometimes I think it's really important to recognize that if you make a choice and you just go with it full force and see where it leads, even if you don't know.
Oh, absolutely. That is so true. I completely agree with you. We have a motto at Light Song saying, say yes, I'm available and I am willing, because we hold back way too much as people, and we have too much doubt and too much fear. And the universe is allowing us and providing opportunities for us all the time, and we retreat. We don't take those opportunities, and then we rationalize the reasons why not. And not that we shouldn't be rational, I'm not saying that, but there are times in your life when you are provided something that it could seem so odd or so risky, but your heart is telling you something different. And that's where it was for me. I mean, my losses were excruciatingly painful. To have my friends disown me, to have, you know, difficulties. I was crushed. I was moving into a place of really depression, severe depression. It was very, very hard. My neighbors wouldn't look at me. I mean, it was, you know, I was carrying the cross of, you know, satanic something. You know, I'm in the Bible belt and I'm talking about it. And it was very difficult, very, very difficult and excruciatingly painful. So when I had that dream to move, even though that was hard with three small children and, you know, like job opportunities, all that kind of stuff, it was also a reprieve. I wanted to get out of there. It was so hard. And I took a big chance. I could not, the easy route would have been to have denied the experience. Oh, yeah, you know, that is kind of far-fetched. That probably didn't happen. I must have been, you know, daydreaming. That would have been the easy answer. And I wouldn't have had any of those losses, but my heart just couldn't do it. I knew what I experienced, and I felt a lack of authenticity if I would have even entertained that it wasn't true. And so I had to move forward. You know, I just knew I had to move forward with it, even though I didn't have a clue as to what I was getting myself into or what it all meant. I just kept saying yes and moving forward with it, and it just unfolded in a really beautiful way. It changed my life. I'm not even the same person anymore. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and a couple of things from that is, you know, the idea of how all of the friends and everything that kind of defined you in a way, some of us define ourselves, when that's all taken away, then that's the point when really you have the ability to start fresh and create whatever you want. But like you say, I mean, it's a painful experience.
Mm-hmm. In shamanism, it's called dismemberment, where you're actually dismembered, you know. And the spirits say, we have you dismembered so you can remember. You know, there's this idea that we become so caught in the illusions of who we think we are that we lose sight. We don't remember the truth. And I needed to remember that I was going to, that I came in with this purpose to do this work. And I'll, another thing that I want to say about that is that it's a fascinating story, but I really see myself as a very ordinary person. And I don't feel that people need to have these fascinating stories in order to be extremely successful in journey work and or shamanic or energy medicine, any of these things, that actually the softer route is usually a more effective route. You go into it because you want to, because you feel this calling. You don't have everything stripped away from you. That's a it's a really difficult way to do it. It was the way that happened to me. I didn't necessarily know I chose it.
Right.
But it's not. You can be just as successful with just following a hunch or a longing that you have to learn particular things. Like, I'm really interested in this. I'd like to learn about it. Well, then do it. That longing is coming from your heart. Then follow through with that and take the steps. The spirits will say that they can tap you on the shoulder or they can give you the board in the face.
Really?
And I kind of got the board in the face.
I love to hear myself too. But I mean, you know, when, you know, the idea of the opportunity when it presents itself to you, that's one of the things when I first started doing podcasts, you know, people would come to me with wanting to be on the podcast, and I would look at, see if they kind of fit the idea. And I said, yeah. And so I'd invite them back, you know, invite them on the show, and then they never hear back. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you know, and not that it's, you know, the number one podcast in the world, but it's, you know, it's getting your message out there and it's talking to people, and people do hear it. So, but
it's a
anyway,
beautiful
so that,
opportunity.
Yeah. So, you know, but to me, it was one of those things where, so, when I recognized, you know, that got me to focusing on opportunity. So, you know, it, I recognized that whenever I was presented that, you know, when I knocked, I opened the door, you know, if I kind of like what I see, I know that, I'm going to go ahead and take a step through and, you know, do that, you know, and see where it goes. But, you know, so many people don't even answer the door, you know?
Yes, that's true. That is very true. We have a lot of opportunities at Light Song because, again, this was such a major thing for me that I dedicated my entire career to it and then started a school because people were doing the things that I was, or excuse me, people were coming in for these healings. Again, I did 3,500 of them. And they would say, how do you do this? I want to learn how to do this. I'd say, okay, well, I'll get a group together of people that I've worked on this month, and we'll gather in my basement, and I'll start teaching you. I'll show you how to do this. And so that's how that started, in my basement with, you know, 10 or 12 people at a time once a month. And now it's, you know, we're one of the leading schools in the United States. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral programs, and, you know, we have many classes and many teachers, and so it's grown into this thing because people are very interested in this. They just don't know where to go, and we are a place to go if you are interested because we have amazing programs. Our gateway class called Through the Rabbit Hole, which is that other book that I wrote, is going to be in September. We offer it in September and in January usually, and it's always offered online. And so it's a matter if you want to do things in person and or do things through webinars online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are opportunities. The world is full of them. You just have to, you know, here's me saying this to you, and the next step would be, well, you say, yes, I'm willing, and I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
It's that next step that you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, Jan.
Okay.
Real short break. And excuse me. And again, callers, if you want to ask a question, you can dial in at 619-789-4359. And then when we come back, let's just jump right into talking more about Light Song, you know, and exactly, you know, all about it. I mean, because you have so many things on. You have courses, the healing center. You got a lot on that website. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll kind of dive into that. Okay.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide: books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms: Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my special guest is Jan Engels-Smith, and we're talking about her shamanic work as well as her book, Becoming Yourself, The Journey from Head to Heart. And she also has her other book, which is Through the Rabbit Hole, Explore and Experience the Shamanic Journey and Energy Medicine. Again, you can find out more about the books, her courses, her blog, her articles. She got everything. And that's on the website, lightsong.net, lightsong.net. Okay, with that, we're back. Jan?
Yes, yes, yes.
Great. Okay, so Light Song. Okay, let's, first of all, the name. And you know what's in the name, and the mission of Light Song.
Sure, the name was something that came to me in a ceremony. Again, very early on, I had no idea that it was going to be named a school or a healing center. It was a ceremony that I was doing with some girlfriends at a waterfall, a beautiful waterfall here in Portland, and they were definitely facilitating me as I was able to move further and further out into sort of an altered state. And these women were very talented, and they just said, a name is coming to you, Jan, grab the name. And I did, and I didn't even know what I was doing. Again, this was very, very early on. And I said, it's Light Song. This is what it is. And so I just had it there. And one of these women was actually a songwriter. And so she wrote a song about Light Song and, you know, all this different kinds of things. But it just sat there. It was not used. And then when things started to develop with my healing practice, and I was getting pretty well known for that, and the school was in those beginning stages in my basement. It wasn't even a school then. It was just, you know, workshops that I was doing. That name came very, very clearly through that it was to be used for the healing center and the school. And it actually has a whole lot more to it that it's too hard to describe without photos, because there's some photos that, light song in the sky and different things like that, that we've been able to capture that really confirmed its connection to the spirit realm. But so that's where that came from. And I'm sorry, I forgot the second half of the question. It was the name. And...
Well, no, that was good. No. And before we go on to the mission, which was
the mission,
second
yeah.
one, but I have to laugh because you talked about the name coming and then not using it later. The name of my show, Bringing Inspiration to Earth, or Byte Radio, that was I had a woman. Who's an astrologer, a good friend astrologer, do a reading for me back in the early 2000s. And it was on audio cassette tape. So, but it was one of those that, as I listened to it, I mean, she basically pinpointed those words, bringing inspiration to earth was what my thing is, So, at that point, I had no idea, like 15 years later, I was going to start the radio show and
right.
Go on for years and years. But it was funny because it was one of those, in a way like yours, you kind of grab it, or something that seed, kind of is there. And it can take a while, but,
yes, it can.
It's going to flourish, but maybe it's like those Chinese, like bamboo, where it grows the roots for, a dozen years before it even starts to, climb up, because then it can go really high. But anyway.
It's beautiful confirmation. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
There is a gestation period and things, you're developing, you're growing, and it's all in this divine timing that comes, and all of a sudden ka-chink, it just all drops in as the fit, and you would have not known it by just getting the little pieces at a time.
Yeah,
so I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because like in mine, I had done background work in broadcast radio, and then I got the internet aspect, and then we got these platforms that can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it was just with technology. I mean, it's just that time caught up with the idea, but.
Mm-hmm.
So, the mission of Light Song.
Sure. Part of our mission, the part that I really accentuate is Light Song's mission is to have interlacing communities of well-beings, because we really have this strong platform of non-competition, of collaboration, of unification, of support. And so we see ourselves as interlacing communities instead of staying separate. And it's interesting because in the beginning, I always thought communities were human beings. But as this mission has had its own energy, it has its own creative force, I actually see it's this connecting of the spirits and the intergalactics and of the different dimensions that are also on the earth, all of these different things that we're all working in harmony to have well-beings. Everybody needs to be well or can be well or can be helped to be well, and we're part of that. We're part of bringing wellness to the earth and to the planet and all the different dimensions of the earth, from those physical dimensions to the non-physical dimensions.
Wow. So now I would think then the other dimensional or non-dimensional would be through shamanic work, I would think. Can you have that kind of work without taking or utilizing shamanic principles?
Well, any type of work that you're going to be working with the invisible realms. Our sight, our visual sight, is a very tiny, tiny level on the spectrum of light. It's a very small portion of it. But there's all these other things that exist that are outside of human beings' ability to see or even to hear. Our decibel range is also very, very small in comparison to even the animal kingdom. And so, one of the things that the spirits are constantly saying is that we have to understand that there's all of these worlds that are very present. You just can't see them because you have such limited sight. In fact, I asked them one time, I said, well, how much do we actually see? You know, what do we actually see around us? And for some reason, I thought that they were going to say, 20%, something like that. Well, they said less than 1%. I said, less than 1%? We're virtually blind. And they just kind of shrugged and said, well, yeah, kind of. And that week, I opened an article in Quantum Physics that they said, information had just come out that we perceive less than 0.1% of our surroundings. Now, this was scientifically proven. And so to me, that's that validation that we get, you know, when the spirits are going to say something and then it's validated by research pretty close that I happen to look at that article. But the idea is that we have to expand and realize that there are all of these things that are helping us and available to us that are not there, that we can't see, but they are still there. And Wayne Dyer coined a term many years ago that is the opposite of what we would normally say, which is I'll believe it when I see it. And then he turned that around and said, I'll see it when I believe it. Meaning, like, when you open up to these possibilities, it brings into focus for yourself all these other opportunities and things that could be real that because we're so left-brained, we just eliminate because it doesn't fall into our level of sight.
Yeah, you know, and when you think about, you know, that infinitesimal portion of what we can see, and, you know, when you also see like animals who I know I had one cat who was just very perceptive, and she was seeing things that I know I couldn't see, but I knew she was seeing things for sure. So, you know, it was one of those cases where, you know, it was just a reminder to me, it's like, yeah, there's other stuff going on. But, you know, when we, like you said, when we open up to those possibilities, I think then maybe we start to have experiences that support that belief.
Yes.
Do you feel
absolutely
that happens? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're in control and you can block things by saying no, 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 no. Okay. Then, you know, we're not going to push this, but people have these experiences that fall into these unexplainable categories, but they're very, very real. I mean, I gave you a good example for myself, but even on minor details, and you can put them into the understanding of, you know, oh, it's just a coincidence. Well, that's not giving credit to a mystical, magical opportunity that's there that is actually in motion. And if you decide that you don't want to buy into that, there's nothing wrong with that. Then don't. But I always say those people that say yes to it, man, does their life change, you know, because it opens up to so many more opportunities in life and to empowerment. I see people that turn into this, that turn towards these things, becoming so empowered in their life where they start trusting that inner authority instead of always turning to an outer authority to tell them what's right or true or whatever the case may be. And so I like to see people heal and thrive in their livelihood, in their vitality, in their gusto, you know, like that they have a zest for life. And I see this really developing as they open up to more possibilities in life. And part of those is that they're helped. You know, the Lakota people believe that, or at least how I was taught by an elder in the Lakota tradition, is that you've got 400, you're born, every person born is born with 405 helping spirits. Well, that's like a small army. You know, it's a lot of beings. And you have the choice, you know, like, are you going to ever learn how to use these helping spirits, or are they just going to be there twiddling their thumbs waiting for you to ask them a question? And it falls into, you know, what we call free will, what the spirits will say is your sacred choice. You either engage with us or you don't. But we're there for you. We are there for you. We're assigned to you. And it's not a literal number, but it's a number of huge quantity that you have access to if you want their help. And for me, I'm like, yeah, bring it on. I'll take your help, you know. And so that's what, to me, shamanism is all about.
Yeah, I've taken that approach, you know. As a matter of fact, there have been times, though, that things have not seemed to know how I want or when I want, and I have been known to be stern and say, now, if you can't get it done, you just get somebody over here who can do it. So, but you know, when we're talking about coincidences and recognition of them, you know, for me, I whenever I have one of those experiences, I always just stop and say thank you, because to me it's a reminder that, you know, there is something going on, mm-hmm. you know, that I don't see and don't expect, and but it's okay. You know,
yeah, exactly. And that you're loved and valued, mm-hmm. and cared for, and that there is something that's happening that wants you to move forward in your life in a good way. I truly believe that. And we get in our own way with that, with our doubts and our lack of trust and our whatever the case may be. But I believe in the divinity of the universe and in the divinity of life, and that truly if you open up to that, that there is great blessing that will happen for you. And there is an ease that comes through. It doesn't make things go away, but it does provide an ease or tools or avenues in order to move through 3D, you know, situations of being physical in a greater, in a better way, in a more healthy way. And the spirits have often said, you know, life is to be enjoyed, and this is a get to. It's not a have to. It's a get to. And we've lost, a lot of people have lost that perspective, and so there's this arduousness that sets in, and it doesn't have to be there. It can change, and I think that when you learn how to develop this communication with your helping spirits, that wow, this is amazing, look at this, what is provided for me. And that's what, mm-hmm. I was talking about, the empowerment that comes through, the happiness, the community, it's all there. It's a really beautiful experience.
Well, you know, the you know, once you recognize that is there, like you say, it does not get rid of all the stuff that we experience, you know, sometimes challenges. But what it does is it provides a way to respond in a peaceful manner, you know, to kind of ride that wave.
Yeah, where you feel like you're empowered to be able to do something with it instead of just being victimized by it.
Yeah, exactly. We have another question. We have a chat room that goes on, by the way, simultaneously.
Sure.
And in the chat room, someone wanted to know, are there exercises beside meditation that can be utilized in order to expand, in order to see a bigger picture? So I guess, you know, other than meditation, can you think of other exercises or practices that, you know, someone can gain that bigger view?
Absolutely. That is what journeying is. That is what a shamanic journeying is. So my book, Through the Rabbit Hole, or taking one of the classes that I offer again in September or January, it's also offered online all the time. But yes, journeying to me is so much faster than meditation. And I have been a meditator since I was in my teens, and so I practice it regularly. But it is a honed skill. It is not something that you learn in a week or 2 weeks or a year. It takes a tremendous amount of practice. Where journeying, I can teach you how to journey in a weekend, and you can then learn that skill and take that to any level you want, either with further training, or you can say, that's enough, I've got it, and I'm going to utilize this to get that bigger picture, to have my questions answered, to tap in. But the reason I like it is because it's active, and we being a very active culture, a mind-active culture, it's easier for us to move into an active, altered state than it is a quiet, altered state, which is what meditation is, where you're turning the mind off. Mm-hmm. Here, we're just moving into the right side and letting it be active over there. And we like that. You know, as a culture, we like that because it's so much easier to be active in our mind than it is to be still because we're used to it. It's where our training has been. And so that's why journeying can be so quickly learned. I've taught thousands of people how to journey with huge successes in it. Very rarely is there somebody that struggles with it. And even if they keep up with it, they will learn. And so,
well, you know, there is that desire to mind, you know, and I know that people have difficulty sometimes clamping down on that chatter, but it would seem that chatter would really be left brain. If I'm thinking, you know, about my chatter,
it's
usually left brain kind of chatter.
It is. Chatter is from the ego, and the ego sits in the left brain, and it's a storyteller. It's always going to tell you, you know, it's telling you a story. It's just a chatter, and when you move into that right brain, it goes away. And so a lot of the activities that I'll do with people in preparing them to learn how to journey, I'll say, okay, I want you to envision a dimmer switch in your brain, and the left side is dimming down, and the right side is dimming up, and it's becoming brighter. And that helps them to move over into that right side. And what they'll notice immediately is the chatter stops. You know, and when you're over there, there is no ego, so there is no chatter.
Yeah.
And there's just experiences. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that
it's really
nice. Helpful.
And that's where you're going with meditation too, but it's harder because you're just trying to turn it off instead of giving it something else to do.
Exactly. Wow. Okay, well, that's great. Yeah, that does clarify for the listener exactly what they're wondering about. So one other thing, I think you mentioned it kind of was in passing earlier in the show, something about like a super self or something about the wholeness. Is there something that I missed about?
Well, the super self, the super self is a term that I created about 2 years ago, and I've been working on. It has also to do with moving into what I think is the how do I want to say this in a short amount of time? I truly believe I believe that the soul is magnificent and that it is much, much, much greater than what is in the body. The soul animates our body and it gives us life. And when we die, the soul moves out. Would you be in agreement with that? That's kind of a standard understanding of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think of yourself think of your soul as this giant triangle in the sky, in the cosmos. It's huge, this huge triangle. And the apex of that triangle is coming down and it's starting to, and it penetrates right into the top of your head, right at the pineal gland. And so that little tip right there is your access point, the portal into your body. So think of your soul as out here as this big big triangle, and then this little point comes down, and a little bit of that soul goes into your body, and that, poof, we call it life. We've incarnated, and now we have life, all right? And we think of that soul as being just in our body, but if you can use your imagination and say, well, really, the 99.9% of it is up in this triangle, that's what I call your super self. So mm-hmm. through journeying or through meditation, you can move your awareness out of the limitations of the physical body and into yourself in this big triangle, and that's the super self. And that super self then sits in the field of what I call all positive possibilities. So when you're in the super self, there's this sense of magnificence there. There's grandiose expansion, like you're just feeling blissful and potentials. Well, if you think about what you want to manifest and the dreams that, you know, you want to manifest for yourself while you're in this super self place, you can reach into the field of all possibilities and just pull mm-hmm. those to your heart and claim them. And so it's part of a meditation that I do. It's part of my ongoing, what I call spiritual research. I'm always researching and looking for new ways to help people connect into their greater self, greater possibilities for themselves. And so this is just some of my ongoing research that I'm doing.
Well, that's, yeah, it's fun. That's because when you recognize that there are those, that the quantum perspective, infinite possibilities, mm-hmm. the real key to changing things, from possibility to reality, is that heart emotional connection to it, to
right.
live it, to believe it. And mm-hmm. That's where I think, a lot of things go awry, is that you may want something, but you just don't have that heart connection yet to bring it in.
That is exactly right. And so mm-hmm. when you're in that state of being, the feeling, which is that what you're talking about, is the feeling of joy of having it, of as if it has manifested already. There's a blissful feeling there. I always call it sweet relief. It's like, oh, I got it, yeah. There's a relief that comes in. All of those feelings are available to you in that state because you're outside of those limitations of the physical body, and you're in your truth. You're in your super self, the part of you that is enormous. It's so much greater than, what I'm calling Jan Engelsmith or you're calling Robert.
Mm-hmm.
there's so much more to you than that. And you're tapping into that and saying, oh yeah, there it is. I am capable of this, and I have so much joy around it. So
absolutely.
It's beautiful. It's,
mm-hmm. It sounds good. It's very good. I mean, it's very much in keeping with the beliefs that I have of how things work. So,
nice.
Jan, this has been a really delight to speak with you. Now, just a reminder, you have that Through the Rabbit Hole course in Portland at the end of the month, right? September 28th and 29th?
That's correct. Uh-huh. That's in Portland.
Yes.
And a lot of people fly in for that from around the country. It's a weekend course, and or it's always offered online. If you wanted to just do it on your own, you can do it through your computer type of thing.
Yeah.
But if you want the hands-on experience to work with me and my other teachers and stuff, then you would come to Portland for that. Mm-hmm.
Great. Yep. And just to let everybody know, you can find out information about that at the in the courses link on the website lightsong.net. And then right there you can be able to see, click here to register or click here for online class. So, well, Jan, I really want to thank you for your time today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. I always feel like I get to smile inside and out when I get to speak about the things that I have so much passion about. And like I mentioned earlier, I just have this insatiable desire to help people be well. And if you go to my website, there's all kinds of things. If flying into Portland is not for you, if that's something that's, you know, either outside of your budget or your time, I have this wonderful webinar that I've just created this year called Recreate Yourself, which goes through so many of the some of them are laws, but how energy works, how manifestation works, how being human works, all these different things that are extraordinary things to contemplate and to work through in your personal belief system around things so that you can discover where your blocks are or where, like, why you're not getting where you want to go in your life. There's a reason. And this webinar takes you through these steps in helping you discover that so that you can actually manifest your goals or your desires and whatever that is. And this is done not in a shamanic form, but it's all in just energy medicine. And so it falls into the category of self-awareness or self-help or anything that you would want to just do for self-improvement. And it's called Recreate Yourself, the 7 Truths for Guaranteed Success. And that's available to anybody. And it's on sale right now for Labor Day.
Oh, my goodness. So. act now. Don't wait.
Act now, yeah.
Well, thank you, Jan. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I look forward to following your journey.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Jan Angles-Smith. We've been talking about her shamanic work as well as her book, Becoming Yourself, The Journey from Head to Heart, and also talking about her upcoming workshop, Through the Rabbit Hole. So find out, again, all about the information about all of those as well as her blog. And she's got lots of great articles for you to scroll through. Visit that at lightsong.net. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at biteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.